Well, we started late this morning and we're going to end late, and the sermon topic is patience. And if you came this morning especially eager for Sunday school, this is a good sermon for you. But I think it's been a rich time of sharing so far, and we look forward to continuing to worship together, and especially then when we will take communion. As I said, this sermon this morning is on patience, and I can tell you it's like, for me at least, a work of progress, and so it's anything but a, here, I now have all of the answers. But it was very fascinating for me to dig deeper into this scripture and to gain some additional insights. What actually prompted my thinking on this was a devotional by April Yamasaki back in March in the Rejoice magazine. That was Grist for the Mill, and she referenced this text that we had from Galatians, and so I spent this week digging into this and thinking more about this, and I share with you some of the steps that I've discovered on the journey. Shall we pray? I thank you, Lord God, for your patience as we journey a step at a time, and we trust that this morning, as we trust for all of our lives, that your Spirit is at work and that we may be drawn closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In that devotional that I referenced, April Yamasaki wrote the following about what for her would be a typical trip to the grocery store. She wrote, "How easy it is to become impatient. I manage to find plenty of opportunities for impatience between my house and the grocery store. I have to force myself to observe the painfully slow speed limit in our townhouse complex. I wait to turn at the corner. I stop at a red light. My regular brand of rice is sold out, and no one can tell me when it will be restocked. And there is a lineup at the cash register. All of this impatience during a simple shopping trip." So does God have a sense of humor? On Thursday, my day was pretty tight. I had a conference call I needed to be a part of at 10, but I really wanted to go see Gerloff in the hospital. I leave here, I have just enough time to squeeze it in, I take off, and I go to turn on Emerson and the street is closed. So I went to the next place and there's a fire truck across the street. Find my way thinking, the sermon's on patience. I get to St. Joe and I go down the aisle and the elevator's out of order. Well, that's one kind of patience that's needed. But there's another kind which is deeper, and that is our patience in relationships. Now, Yamasaki pointed to Galatians 5, as I said, and so a little digging gave me some focus to my thinking in that way about patience, and it started with a very interesting discovery. I guess I'm not a good enough scholar, I should have known this beforehand, but the word which is translated patience in Galatians as a fruit of the Spirit is literally, in Greek, long-tempered. So as one commentator says, patience is the ability to hold one's temper for a long time. Well, I took it to the obvious point. It helped me with my comprehension to contrast this to short-tempered. A patient person is literally long-tempered, and a short-tempered person, well, short-tempered is that light turns red and how many seconds pass before you honk? Come on! I am explaining it to you. How many times do I have to tell you? And I had this fantasy of us doing a whole congregational skit in which every person here would get up and demonstrate for everyone else, when are you at your best in being short-tempered with spouse or children or other congregational members when people simply aren't functioning the way that you'd like, and so you want to have them do something quickly. But this is not about being short-tempered, it is about being long-tempered. Here's one of the insights. This is kind of a linear journey. I'll put the pieces together in a moment. But more digging into Scripture reveals long-temperedness, that word itself, as being a characteristic of God. Romans 9. tells us that only God's patience prevents him from destroying the objects of his wrath. Long-temperedness, we had the rain, would have been the characteristic of God revealed in the flood and the promise. Never again. My patience is going to be almost infinite. So God is long-tempered with us, his fallen creatures, and Paul glorifies the Lord for what he calls his unlimited patience that saved him, Paul. Paul says, I was the worst of sinners, but God's infinite long-temperedness, waiting and waiting and waiting, resulted in Paul the apostle. And the question comes then, what if God were short-tempered when we fail to live as expected? What if God gave us what we deserved immediately? Well, sometimes I think that I sort of got left out of some parts of the gifting process because I'm not a patient person. But I'm saying that in terms of personality. And that's one way that one can go, and so the lesson can be, well, try to be more patient, and don't be impatient that you aren't getting more patient. And I find myself kind of just pushing and pushing and pushing, and nothing changes. Trying to get more patient doesn't seem to be an answer, but then I realized there is another point of access we might consider, and that is that patience is listed in this text as being a fruit of the Spirit. It's an agricultural image. There's a certain kind of soil and a soil preparation which is needed for fruit to come to be. For the apples to be a good harvest at the millers, they need a certain kind of soil or certain steps that they take. And they don't make fruit happen, but the soil is prepared and out of that comes fruit. I looked then at the start of the section of the text that we read for this morning, which said, serve one another in love, and love your neighbor as yourself. Here were all of these words about love, and then what followed were the fruits of the Spirit, and then I think the obvious came to mind in that God is love. God is patient. God is long-tempered. And so patience isn't a goal, it is an outcome, it is a fruit. The fruit is the end game. You plant, you water, you fertilize, you nurture, and then comes the fruit. So long-temperedness, as I'm coming to understand it, is correlated to being a person of love. That means that the journey to patience is a journey of spiritual transformation. Be a person of love. Become Jesus-like. Have the mind of Christ. Quit being conceited about oneself. Become the kind of soil out of which will come, and there was the long list, one of which is patience. I revisited April Yamasaki's trip to the grocery, and she gave some hints in this direction. She said, to avoid becoming impatient as she's driving, I wave at my neighbors. I wonder what it's like to be that person whose face seems to be so set. I wonder what their needs are. I wonder what's happening in their life. She practices neighborliness, waving. And she says, I observe those around me and I strike up conversation with the next person in line. I know people who have as one of their practices of prayer, and slowly this is becoming my habit, praying for whatever is distracting the person in front of me when the light turns green. Lord God, whatever it is that they're texting, whatever it is that they're worried about, whatever it is that they're preoccupied with, might they be blessed and find answers. It's harder to be upset with somebody if your orientation is to loving them. When things aren't going your way, thinking about how to love those who would have it otherwise. In other words, one's enemies. Thinking about how to love those who don't want a relationship of love. What do I know about them, their hopes, their frustrations, and their dreams? What I'm saying is that one of my insights from this text is that rather than working on being more patient per se, I think that the soil I need to cultivate is becoming transformed into a person of love, out of which come the fruits of the Spirit. We are told, in fact, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be ye patient, living in this creation which is not yet the way I want it, as God continues to love this creation which is not yet the way that he wants it. I consider then this text again, the entire law, all of the ways that God ordered things is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you're on the other side of things, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So that impatience, I take more as a symptom of how far I am or am not going, progressing in my growth, than I do take it as a goal, as something that I ought to work at. It doesn't hurt to work at it. That's a good goal. But a deeper thing is, which nature is really ruling me? To what extent am I journeying along in the journey of transformation to become Christ-like? And as one progresses on that journey, out of that soil come the fruits of the Spirit. So I thought then how we come to this table, our communion table, as a reminder and symbol and testimony. How short-tempered Jesus might have been. He was about to be betrayed. The other 11 disciples, other than Judas Iscariot, were far from being mature. A very natural reaction would have been, "What's wrong with you people? Haven't I done enough? I'm tired of this. A person can only go so far. Give me a break," and then a recitation of all that he's done and taught over and over and over again. And there they were. And yet, if there was ever a life that was infinitely long-tempered and patient, it was revealed. As he said, "I brought you to this table because I love you. I brought you to this table because I love you." And so our journey to having the mind of Christ continues, and this morning is a gift from God as a reminder of what it looks like to live an infinitely long-tempered life of patience and love, because we know what followed. At any point, Jesus could have said, "I've done enough." The forks in the road continued to appear, and he went to the cross in saving love for a frustrating humanity. And the next time that any one of us would think, "I've gone far enough, a person can only go so far, and now I'm going to turn toward having people get what they deserve," our Lord went to the cross in saving love for a frustrating humanity. I am sure that I and all of us here will yet have our times of being impatient and short-tempered. And my call is for us not so much to work on patience as it is to take such instances as reminders and cues and indicators of what is happening within us spiritually in our journey toward Christ-likeness as we seek to be people of love with the mind of Christ, such that our lives will naturally bear the fruits of the Spirit, one of which is patience. And as we walk this journey, our God continues to patiently love us. Amen.